Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond reading today from the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 6, 2016. We'll begin with an article on the front page. The headline is Parade, Picnic, Celebrate Union Pride, Solidarity. And it was written by Allison Petty. Amy Roof likened the annual Labor Day festivities to a theme espoused by Mr. Rogers. These are the people in your neighborhood. Quote, we work for Bodine. We run the machines. We carry your mail. We're teachers, said Roof, treasurer of Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly. It's our way to show people here we are. We're here every day. We're part of this community. Hundreds turned out to watch the Labor Day parade in downtown Decatur, which featured about 35 organizations, most of them local unions. More than 2,000 people attended the picnic later in Fairview Park, which featured bounce houses, ice cream, face painting, airbrush tattoos, raffles, and the Decatur Power tumblers. It also featured the distribution of $22,000 in grants from donations collected by the We Are One Community Fund. The theme of the parade was Stronger Together, which Roof said remained more important than ever for labor groups in light of what they see as threats from Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. Rauner was the biggest concern of people she talked to as they gathered before the parade, Roof said. The best thing we can do, quote, is rally together and go in the same direction. It's about workers' rights and the rights of the middle class to keep us strong, she said. The parade's grand marshal was Shad Etchison, international representative for the 6th District of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Etchison, 44, was previously the business manager for Decatur-based IBEW Local 146. The day was truly a family event for him, as he shared a spot in the Grand Marshal's car with his 10-year-old daughter, Haley. Two sons, 12-year-old Aiden and 8-year-old Eli, rode with the IBEW truck, and his wife, Laura, also attended. The couple has been bringing the kids since they were in strollers. Quote, look at the people, look at the families, Etchison said, gesturing down the line of vehicles before the parade began. It's just a day that people look forward to. It's the end of summer, as we all know, so it's a chance to get together, see a lot of friends and union brothers and sisters that maybe you don't see throughout the year. The goal of organized labor is always to improve the lives of working people, he said. That means pushing for better pay and benefits, good health care, and the ability to retire with dignity. The consequences of those victories ripple beyond the individual union members, he said. Quote, What we've seen over the years is whatever organized labor pushes for benefits more than just working people, Etchison said. We've seen that with education. We've seen that with health care. I believe we still have a very important role. Jennifer Huckstep, parade chairwoman and a member of United Auto Workers 751, came from a line of union supporters and has been a member herself for 11 years. Before Labor Day was a national holiday, union members would take off work to mark the occasion, she said. And it remains important to carry on the tradition and show how many union jobs are in the community. The rights the unions fight for improve conditions for everyone in every job, union or not, said Huckstep, 38. If it wasn't for unions and their important role in our history, we likely wouldn't have the pay that we have, or the benefits, or the paid holidays. Joe Riley, business manager of Labor's International Union of North America, Local 159, has been involved with the union for his entire adult life, since he was 18 years old. He's 36 now and said union membership allowed him to provide for his family, buy a house, and avoid worrying about mounting hospital bills when his child was born. Along with a living wage, workers get a feeling of pride in what they build, he said. Quote, when I worked in the field, I loved going by a parking lot and thinking, I worked on that, or a city street. I paved a ton of city streets in Decatur. Riley said working on those projects, especially being from Decatur, you're proud of that. Being a member of the National Association of Letter Carriers for the past 17 years has meant better benefits, pay, and especially working conditions, said Angie Miller of Decatur. Miller, 52, is recording secretary for Branch 317 and works as a letter carrier in Decatur. Union membership is a tradition in her family, she said, and she was happy to walk in the parade Monday to show solidarity. America, to me, is union-made, she said. We have to support our brothers and sisters. That's what we're here to do. Four really good photos accompany this story. They're by Jim Bowling. One shows Landon Lundeen, age 2, who is dressed in brown overalls and a plaid shirt and what I would call a Texas cowboy hat. He is putting into a bag candy thrown along Franklin Street during the Labor Day parade. Another shows Courtney Shoemaker, age 10, competing in a match of padded jousting with friend Sydney Luckinbill, age 10, during the Labor Day picnic at Fairview Park. Finally, we see Daryl Whitfield, age 9, who is racing through an inflatable obstacle course during the Labor Day parade. Oh, here's one more. Dustin Lee holds his daughter, Sophia Marquis, or Marquis, age 3, as she throws candy to onlookers while they walk with Roofers Union, Local 92, along Franklin Street during the Labor Day parade. And Sophia is riding on her father's shoulders, and she has long braid, a blonde braid, going all the way down her back. She's enthusiastic about throwing candy to those who are lining the parade route. We turn now to page 3 for more articles of local interest. This one is headlined, Council to Limit Video Gambling Parlors. It was written by Allison Petty. The spread of video gambling parlors throughout the city could be suppressed by the Decatur City Council tonight. The council is scheduled to vote on changes to city code that would cap the number of Class P liquor licenses, which are the type obtained by the parlors, rather than bars or restaurants that also include the machines. The number would be limited to 30, which includes the current 23 license holders and the 7 establishments with pending applications. Through attrition, city officials will eventually narrow the number to 20 licenses. In addition, the code changes would mean that any new parlors must be located 1,500 feet from existing establishments. This is meant to prevent clusters of gambling parlors in certain areas of the city. Council members asked for the changes after discussing video gambling issues at several recent meetings. In other business, the council will hear a review from city staff about how the bidding process works for public projects. That includes explanations of requirements under the city's ordinance passed by the council in March 2015 that created minority participation goals for public works projects. The goals require that contractors make, quote, a good faith effort to ensure minority workers perform at least 18% of the total hours worked on city projects. When the job includes a subcontractor, the goal is for 10% of the total dollar amount to be performed by minority-owned businesses. Council members asked for the review after some disagreed with a determination made by city staff in recent bids for street repairs. 3 contractors were deemed non-responsive after failing to comply with bid requirements, which city staff say were spelled out clearly during a pre-bid meeting. City Manager Tim Gleason said he has met with council members individually to communicate the information, but saw value in sharing it with the community. Among the requirements for a good faith effort, Gleason said, is contacting 3 minority-owned businesses for every subcontracting opportunity on a job. The ordinance does not require that the contractor must choose those companies. Allison Petty has also written this article on page 3. Mini golf spices things up with beer, wine, lights out. Does wine and miniature golf sound like a good combination? How about craft beer, or maybe glow-in-the-dark courses? The Decatur Park District has created 2 events next week designed to check those boxes and bring adults to Overlook Adventure Miniature Golf in Nelson Park. The first, Craft Beer and Wine Night, will be held from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thursday, September 15th. The event is a partnership with 2 local businesses, Decatur Brew Works and the Decanter. Various companies have hosted private events with alcohol at the miniature golf course, but this is the first public event of its kind, said Gabby Cliff, recreation supervisor. It usually goes over really well, she said. Tickets are $15, which includes miniature golf and 6 drink tasting tickets. Each taste of craft beer requires 1 ticket. Wine tastings require 2 tickets each. Tickets will be available on the night of the event, but reservations are recommended to ensure a spot. Call 217-422-5911 to buy tickets in advance. 1 of the 2 18-hole courses will remain open during that time for players who don't want to participate in the event, Cliff said. The second activity is Lights Out from 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday, September 17th. That event, aimed at adults 18 and older, costs $10 for a round of golf, glow accessories, and a glow-in-the-dark golf ball. Alcohol will be available for purchase during that event, and Ted's Taters and Cherry Berry will extend their hours. Quote, "We really hope it goes over well," Cliff said. "We're really excited about both events." Here's a very brief article with a Dateline Chicago headlined, "Monarch Count Extremely Low." Butterfly observers in Illinois are seeing a phenomenon this year that is playing out nationally. As the monarch starts its near 3,000-mile winter migration from Canada to Mexico, their observed numbers are extremely low. Chicago Academy of Sciences chief curator Doug Terran said the monarch is, quote, "the second or third most common species of butterfly that observers record, but that this year it's the seventh." Terran said, "This summer has been pretty dismal for butterflies in general in Illinois. Observers typically record 85 species a year, but current reports show 68 this summer." Monarch Joint Venture co-chair Karen Oberhauser said the monarch's difficult summer began March 9th in forested mountains near Mexico City, where tens of millions of them spend their winters. An intense storm lashed the area with rain, hail, and snow, killing large numbers of the butterflies and inflicting heavy damage to their habitat. On page 3, we find an article written by Jared Jarman of the Lee News Service, and this concerns an event in Casey. The headline is Popcorn Fest Homecoming. It had been years since David Hanners had set foot on the bandstand in Fairview Park to play his guitar, let alone Casey in general. He remembers the first time he was on the bandstand performing in public. At a festival decades before, he was called on stage where he performed Rocky Mountain High by John Denver, and, quote, "sucked," according to Hanners. He said he remembered butchering the song. Now, years later, the 61-year-old guitarist was able to return to his hometown Saturday and perform some songs he has penned over the years as part of the Quarry Branch Boys at the Casey Popcorn Festival, the last stop after numerous gigs. Quote, "It really feels good to be able to come back and right that wrong," Hanner said. "I kind of felt like I should say, sorry, I sounded so bad all of those decades ago. I hope today sounds better." The performance, which encapsulated the history of the local area through the lyrics of the songs, was only an hour or two taken out of the audience's day. However, for Hanners and the rest of Quarry Branch Boys, including Carl Burke on bass, Richard Hippler on banjo, and Solly Burton on mandolin, it was a passion project more than a year and a half in the making. About 2 years ago, Hanners had moved to Kuwait with his wife Sharon so that she could go back into international teaching. Quote, "If the food is good, I am down for it," he said when the opportunity arose to leave the country. Hanners moved from his job in St. Paul, Minnesota, as a journalist for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, where he did a 22-month story on airplane crashes that earned him a Pulitzer Prize. While a journalist for decades, Hanners said performing and songwriting had been a passion for much of his life. However, in Kuwait, an avenue to perform was limited. Quote, "There are not many opportunities to play over there for a variety of reasons," Hanners said. "I booked more gigs over the summer in this area than I have played the past 2 years in Kuwait." In the Middle Eastern country, he sought to play. So a few minutes in, he called on, a few months in, he called on three people, Burke, Hippler, and Burton, who might be interested in combining their stringed instruments and creating a bluegrass band. To his surprise, Hanner said it was resounding sure from all three. Through the 2-year stint in Kuwait, the band would practice playing along with tunes Hanner's recorded. Along with this formation, Hanner said there was a goal to play at the Popcorn Festival. He said if he had a bucket list, forming a bluegrass band and performing at the Popcorn Festival would have been included. Burke said as time passed, the anticipation built up. Quote, "I've been looking forward to it," he said. "I've been looking at my calendar." Finally, Saturday, the band, excluding Burton, who had been involved in a car accident days before, was able to perform together on stage, Hanner said. Quote, "There is a sign on the outskirts of town, home of David Hanner's Pulitzer winner, or whatever, and I wanted to show them not another side of me, but that I also play music," he said. They played tunes highlighting historical points in the local area. Hanners is now back off to Kuwait after his summer-long stretch in the U.S. Also on page 3 with a Dateline Alney and from the Lee News Service, we have this headline, "Two-car crash kills Arthur woman." An Arthur woman died as a result of injuries sustained in a vehicle collision at 7 p.m. Friday on Illinois 130, just north of Miller's Grove Lane, according to the Illinois State Police. Verna M. Yoder, 50, was a passenger in a van driven by Andrew Helmuth, 71, of Arthur, that had collided with a truck driven by John M. Austin, 42, of Charleston. State police said Austin was driving south on Illinois 130, and Helmuth was northbound. Austin's drive shaft broke, which led him to lose control of the vehicle, police said. Austin's vehicle slid sideways into the northbound lane where Helmuth was driving and struck the middle of Helmuth's vehicle on the driver's side. Austin's vehicle stopped in the middle of the road, blocking both lanes, while Helmuth's vehicle went off the road and overturned, state police reported. Austin and passenger Sarah Fields, 40, of Ashmore, suffered minor injuries. Helmuth was airlifted to Deaconess Hospital in Evansville, Indiana. Three other passengers in Helmuth's vehicle, Howard Yoder, 54, of Arthur, Luane Mast, 21, of Tuscola, and Velma D. Roder, 22, of Arthur, were transported to Richland Memorial Hospital, Alney. Verna Yoder was pronounced dead at the scene by the Richland County Coroner, according to state police. Austin was cited for improper lane usage, and Velma Yoder and Luanne Mast were cited for failure to wear a seatbelt. There's an announcement of a prairie celebration. The Macon County Conservation District's annual Prairie Celebration Living History event will be 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th, and from noon to 4 p.m. on Sunday, September 11th, at Rock Springs Conservation Area. Participants will explore 1800s crafts, skills, and life, and tour a living history encampment of more than a dozen artisans. Several tradespeople will have handcrafted items for sale, including pottery, baskets, carvings, and hand-dyed yarn. Activities for children, free wagon rides, and bluegrass music will be available Sunday. Admission and parking is free, and food will be available for purchase. For more information, there is a website at MaconCountyConservation.org. There's an event in Springfield, and the headline is Presidential Pets. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum will be hosting an event on September 17th about past presidential pets. Information will be shared about little-known animals, such as Abraham Lincoln's two goats named Nanny and Nanko, and other presidential companions, such as mockingbirds and possums. The Pets in the White House event in Springfield will feature a pet parade where the public can show off their furry companions. Headline murder threats from Charleston. A Charleston High School student was charged with allegedly making a threat of murder to high school officials. Andrew Watts, 18, of Charleston, was charged with electronic threat against a school official in connection with the incident said to have occurred Friday, according to the Charleston Police Department. Charleston police responded to the school and other locations as a result of a complaint. Watts reportedly told another person of the allegedly planned crime. He was placed in the Coles County Jail with a $100,000 bond. Of course, I mean bond. A $100,000 bond. We'll take a short break now and return with the September 6th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.